Nigeria today, as we know it, is still very much at its slow end, with unstable economic conditions, security challenges, and other questions still crying for answers. The future remains uncertain. What then could be done to salvage the uncertain future of Nigeria? In this episode of The Insider, I had a chat with Mr. Raphael Stephen, the lead volunteer for the FAME Foundation and the CEO of Educating Leaders Consulting, while we discussed the way forward in salvaging the future of Nigeria.
Good day, Mr. Raphael Stephen. It's a pleasure to have you join. Despite your busy schedule, thank you for joining in.
Thank you, Kifat, for having me. It's wonderful to be here. I hope we can engage and learn quite a lot of things from each other today. Yeah.
Okay, so the topic is leaders of tomorrow, salvaging Nigeria's future. For starters, you've been working with young people, teenagers especially. When you engage them, what's their reaction when you talk about Nigeria, or what do they say about Nigeria?
You know, when it comes to the FAME Foundation, what we do at the FAME Foundation is focused on leadership development, and we work with students in secondary schools. And one of the greatest revelations I've seen so far is that most of them are totally clueless about what leadership really is. They see leadership as a positional thing. So it's always amazing when you encounter them and you ask, who is the leader? And the first thing they tell you is someone else and not themselves. Mm-hmm. It goes to show you the kind of mindset we have about leadership in Nigeria, not just Nigeria, across the world as well. People see leadership as a positional thing. And it's just beautiful to see that in the last 5 years, we've been able to reshape and reorientate the mindsets of quite a lot of young people, you know, helping them see that leadership is beyond the position, but rather it's about responsibility and influence. Yeah.
This idea about leadership being a position, where do you think this mindset came from?
Looking at it, I believe it came from, you know, times past, you know, like from the colonial era, whereby, you know, the way things were always done, whereby it's always everyone looking to a particular person to give them direction, you know, give them leadership. And over time, we've not been able to break away from that. So everyone is always looking for a savior. And the truth is that there's a savior in each and every one of us, not just one person. So we're always looking for one Messiah. And you know what happens to saviors? Saviors die. So it's a culture thing. It's a culture thing from what I've seen. It's a culture thing. And it's something we're trying to, you know, work on. And really, I'm really hoping that in the future we'll have a massive national orientation whereby the mindsets of Nigerians, and not just Nigerians, Africans, would move from a positional mindset of leadership to an influence, you know, a person, you know, everyone knowing that they are all leaders, that they carry, you know, like seeds of leadership inside of them.
Now, you made mention of how FAME Foundation is working closely with teenagers. Why teenagers though?
We believe that the next generation of leaders, you know, are the future of not just Nigeria, of the continent of Africa. And it's not enough for us to complain about the bad or poor state of leadership in the continent. We have to be intentional, you know, about developing the next generation of leaders if we really want to salvage what is left of, you know, not just Nigeria, but the African continent as well. Because things just keep getting worse and worse each day. And when you check leadership, it's a real big problem. But the funny thing is, no one is teaching leadership. We complain a lot about leadership, but no one is teaching leadership. There's still no course in our universities, or I don't know about if there's maybe a university now that teaches leadership, but the last time I checked, no one goes to the university or to teach, to study leadership, or we don't have courses like that. Even in secondary schools, we don't have leadership being taught. So that's the gap we identified and we're trying to, you know, fill in FAME, whereby we're providing leadership education for the next generation of leaders, and not just talking, but also doing something to change, you know, the narrative, the status quo, and develop the leaders we wish we had in Nigeria.
You made something similar to education, teaching leadership. There's this topic in or subject in our secondary school, civic education,
okay,
where it is believed that students are taught about being good members of the society. With this in place, why do you think it's not necessarily addressing a change in the mindset of how teenagers see leadership?
Civic education is great. You know, it teaches about civic responsibilities and all, but the thing is, it can be improved on, not just focusing on just civic responsibilities, but teaching leadership, you know, as a whole, because leadership has many parts. You know, we have values, we have emotional education, socio-emotional education, we have character, we have also the place of practical leadership as well. So beyond you just teaching them, okay, our national values and everything, trying to instill patriotism in them, you also have to teach them how to lead and give them opportunities to lead as well. You get, show them that this is how leadership should be, and this is something our civic education doesn't really cover for. So if the curriculum can be worked on whereby leadership education can be, you know, immersed into the current curriculum and expanded on, just imagine a scenario whereby every child starts learning leadership from even primary school or from GS1 till they get to university. The ripple effect of that will be so, because, you know, when it comes to leadership, one of the fastest way people learn is through peer-to-peer influence. So the effect is just imagine it. Imagine what can happen or what could happen if we intentionally start infusing leadership education into our educational curriculum.
People like to attribute the fact that our elders failed this generation. Do you think that may be fair?
One thing I have come to realize is that our elders are not perfect people. All they were able to do or still trying to do or lead with is using what they knew and the available resources they had and what was passed down to them, you know, like to chart a course for us, set examples for us. But over time, you know, there's more access now to knowledge. New developments have been seen in the space. We've learned new things about leadership. Now we're not just talking about leadership, we're talking about empathy, we're talking about emotional intelligence, we're talking about adaptability, things like that. Do you understand? So I wouldn't say they failed us. They tried to do their best with what they knew. But like I always say, if you know better, you would surely do better. So it's left to us to look at the areas whereby they've made mistakes, not just criticize them, but learn from it and take, you know, intentional and proactive steps on learn, you know, those things they've taught us or we've learned from them. You may be through observation, because sometimes you don't just learn from teaching alone, you catch some things. Most times when we're critiquing our elders, you notice that even the current generation were beginning to even replicate things they do as well. So it's not enough to complain. We must also reevaluate ourselves, work on our mindsets as well, work on our value system, and try to leave a higher leadership, you know, like examples for the next generation of leaders.
And,
yeah.
And still on that, many people argue that this youths of nowadays are degenerating to something that may not be redeemable for Nigeria. And what I'm saying is that, for example, we have people in their 40s, 50s, 40s, 30s, generating to something that they say it's bad. But we also have this set of young people coming up, teenagers. Do you think that they now have people to look up to in terms of looking up to someone as responsible people?
Okay, when people talk about, you know, hopelessness when it comes to the next generation, if that's what you mean by your question, I always come from the point of when it comes to change, it begins with each and every one of us. The change we're trying to bring about in our society, in our nation, we must first take responsibility in becoming the change we want to see. Because a lot of young people, children, teenagers, youths, they learn through examples. So what examples are we setting for them? It's not enough for us to say, the next generation of leaders, there's no hope, there's no... No! We need to have what I call a moral kind of optimism, whereby we still believe that, okay, we can do something to help, you know, like navigate the next generation of leaders from going down the negative side. Yet no one is irredeemable. You know, you just have to believe. And that's where I feel we get it wrong most times. We choose not to believe. And if we can come from a place whereby we make that decision to not just be led by our feelings, but make a decision to say, okay, we know this is going to be hard, but we can do it. Mm-hmm. Yet it's a kind of mindset like that changes everything. That's the game changer. Yeah.
You spoke about belief now, and everywhere we turn to, it's almost looking like people have lost hope in the future of Nigeria, and so which makes them to do crazy things, which makes them to live lawlessly as if there's no law, there's no nothing, and what then can be done to revive hope in a typical Nigerian, or in fact for a young Nigerian?
What I would say is we all just have to take proactive steps towards leading in our own little corners. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where it starts from. You know, one good deed, one good act, always making that conscious decision to do the right thing, even when we're faced with opportunities to do the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? So things like that has a ripple effect. It has a way of giving everyone hope again. If I could use the example of what we do at the FAME Foundation, I know so many people who, you know, when we started the FAME Foundation, they were always saying, this thing you people want to embark on, are you sure it's possible? Because whether you like it or not, we live in a very cynical country whereby people are quite pessimistic about, you know, the possibilities of the future still being bright. You know, they keep saying things like, that's how we've been hoping, we've been praying and, you know, and all like that. But we need to come from a place whereby we still need to, you know, work on ourselves as individuals. The leaders, the positional leaders of this country, they're not just the problem. Each and every one of us as well, we contribute to the larger problem in our country. So instead of just pointing fingers at some few people, it's time we all deliberately began to like, say, I'll be the change I want to see, I'll make a difference, I'll be the change I want to see, I'll use the little I have to help who I can. And that has a chain kind of like reaction, everyone. If we choose to be people who show more kindness than hate, more love than wickedness, being our brother's keepers and all, little by little, hope will begin to rise again. Faith will begin to rise again. Yeah, but you know, we live in a world whereby bad news spreads more than good. So that also helps you push the narrative that the country is irredeemable. But honestly, a lot of positive things are happening in the country, but most of them, they're just not being
published.
Yeah, published, you know. Thank you. Yeah.
I want to believe that people are now having an understanding of leadership, because everywhere you turn to now, by the time you turn up your phone, you see people coming up with leadership classes, people saying. So in your own assessment, how would you rate the level of leadership, the quality of leadership in Nigeria at the moment?
Okay, quality of leadership, is it in general, or in, are you referring to from the leadership, the positional leadership, like governance?
Yeah, from governance.
Okay.
From governance, how would you rate the quality of leadership as of now?
Okay, I would say it can be better. You know, it can be better. Like I keep saying, if they know better, they would do better. If you check most of them out, they never went through any form of leadership education. Do you understand? They just, okay, I wouldn't say stumbled on those positions, because most of them are very intentional about getting to those positions. But you know, it's not enough to get there. You can't give what you don't have. So that leadership, you know, knowledge, that leadership value they need, the wisdom, you know, like that they need to lead us, all right, is missing. And when that is not there, it ends up affecting because that's our biggest problem, you know, in this part of the world. Our value system is so, we don't have a value system, you know, anything just goes, people just behave. But if they were educated or they had someone who taught them what leadership really is, the level of leadership we're seeing right now would have been much better. So it's left to us to maximize the leadership resources we have, like you said, all across, you know, the internet courses and things like that, and not just learn, but also find opportunities to utilize that knowledge in our little corners, not until we get to those positions. Do you understand? So that's my take on that.
In practical terms now, how do we set the tone for building or reviving values? Because I personally want to believe that there have been these values have been there, but something changed the course. So what then, in practical terms, will we needed to instill certain values that will help us develop quality of leadership appropriate for Nigeria?
I think the most important place we need to start from is our schools. If we can get it right in our educational system, whereby we're able to infuse teaching of leadership values in our curriculum, it will go a long way in helping us spread, like having that multiplier effect about what good values really are. Because what most of our young people see or model is what, you know, the pop culture, you know, the musicians, the people in the entertainment world, that's what they model. Those are the values they pick up, because, you know, that's a very powerful, you know, sector, you know, the entertainment sector. And that's where a lot of young people pick up their values. But just imagine if right in their schools, whereby they go to almost every period of the year, at least three quarters of the year, they're at school, they're being taught values and everything, they'll be able to distinguish between what's a good value and what's a bad value. So it still boils down to our educational system and a revamp of the curriculum. If that can be, you know, like worked on, and some certain policies put in place to make sure that every child learns certain leadership values and skills before, you know, they leave secondary school, even when they are in university, my God, the quality of our human, you know, capital will be so productive, and that can also help us, you know, change.
I'd like to talk about education for a minute, but before I go there, they say charity begins at home. And now that you mentioned building curriculum that accommodates leadership training in our schools, so how then do we bridge the gap between the family unit and the school system or the educational system? Because teachers that will come to school are coming from home. Everybody that make up the school or the education sector are also coming from a particular family unit. So how do they bridge the gap between the family unit and the school unit?
Okay, the family unit plays a very important, you know, like role in the formation of every child. Do you understand? Every adult, every good or bad product in the society came from a certain family. Do you understand? So I just believe that there's a need for massive reorientation. So now, not just at the school level, but in every sector of our nation, the family, the schools, the government institutions, the traditional institutions. So it still boils down to a massive, like, national reorientation, whereby we are more intentional about having, you know, forums, having platforms whereby we can see how we can get the family institution to help inculcate certain critical life skills and values into their children, as the school is also trying to immerse those same values into them as well. So just take, for instance, whereby you're at school, you're learning leadership values, you're learning values, you're learning life skills, you get home as well, your parents are also teaching you leadership values and teaching you, you know, the right things as well. Or take, for instance, now the audience we work with at the FAME Foundation, We've noticed that most of the children that we work with come from broken homes.
Exactly.
They come from broken homes. So now, linking that to the family institution, family units, you know, the society you just mentioned, you can see that the school also plays a role in helping, you know, like most of them, the father figures in their lives are their teachers. The mother figures in their lives are their teachers. Most of the students, they live with their uncles, aunts, extended family, and most of them don't have even time for them. So who do they look to? Is it that their peers or their teachers or maybe their pastors or imams when they go to church? Because religion also, that's another unit again that plays a very critical role as well, you know, in the formation of the products we see in society. So I believe so much in the massive, you know, like national reorientation, you know, we need a mind shift in this country, serious one, serious one, yeah.
Talking about the education sector now,
yeah.
For the curriculum to accommodate and encourage leadership training,
okay.
Where do we start from? Where do you think we should start from?
It starts from a place of making sure that every stakeholder in the educational system is carried along in the process of revamping the curriculum, whereby every voice is listened to and we're able to deduce, you know, the pain points and hear the suggestions of how best, you know, to communicate or cascade, you know, these values to the students in the schools. So take, for instance, now the main body that is responsible for when it comes to the curriculum, that's the Ministry of Education. Yeah. But thing is, we need stakeholders, you know, like take, for instance, you know, from mothers, fathers, teachers, principals, community leaders, like have a forum whereby we sit down and really ask, what are the problems? How best can we teach these values to these kids? Take, for instance, when you go to the north now, there might be a better kind of way of infusing a teaching of leadership values into the curriculum that would help make a positive impact that can be measured in the lives of the children. When you come to the western part, when you go to the eastern part as well. And I think that's where it all starts from, making sure, you know, like we engage stakeholders, take all the findings we can from them, put it together, and make sure it is implemented as well. Because it's not enough to just have forums and gather information, data. Execution is always a problem most times. Execution, like making sure this thing gets implemented as well. Yeah, so there have been a lot of policies and attempts to revamp the curriculum, but you know, we just have to keep trying.
So what do you think is frustrating the efforts of making sure that the policies are being executed?
Most times, one of the biggest problems we have when it comes to institutions that are responsible for things like this is always the problem of bureaucracy, accountability, and corruption as well. Then also I won't call it the problem.
Probably a challenge.
Yeah, the challenge of, you know, tradition. Let's keep doing it the way we've always done it. Let's not try to upset or change the status quo, and also the place of ignorance as well. Again, most times we tend to focus more on literacy and relegate the place of informal, like education, things like leadership skills, financial literacy, things like socio-emotional. And this, because it's not enough to just have hard skills in this world we are now. We also need soft skills as well. People need to learn how to be emotionally smart, not just book smart. That's why you can see anybody just type anyhow on social media. Do you understand? Yeah, because most of them, they lack social emotional intelligence. They lack social intelligence as well. Do you understand? So, but if all these things are put in the curriculum and they're taught how to manage their feelings, their emotions, how to respond, react, how to communicate properly, we would have reduction in so many things. Like a big problem we have right now is cyberbullying.
Yeah.
Every day we keep hearing of how people bully people on the internet and they take their lives, commit suicide. You can just see a young person now go on social media and just abuse an elderly person. Do you understand? We've heard so many stories of things like this. So there's a place of education not just being about, you know, maths, English. No. That's good. But we also need to also teach them informal skills that can help them succeed, not just in school, but in life as well.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Still on the educational sector,
okay,
and talking about stakeholders, one of the challenges I see, especially in government schools, is that we recruit teachers who are there for by virtue of I need a job, okay, and I just need something to get my hands on. And I feel that for you to be a teacher, it means that you are passionate about imparting knowledge and imparting values, which of course is affecting the delivery of teachers, not even saying most teachers, some teachers, which of course will have an impact on the students, which of course will have an impact on the whole educational sector. So how then do we solve the problem of recruitment in the educational sector?
Okay, one challenge I've seen when it comes to the educational sector personnel, people who are responsible for the lives of the next generation of leaders, is the problem of motivation. Over time, the teaching job has been reduced from the best job in the world to a job of a job with no honor. Do you understand? And you know, when it comes to human beings want to enter into sectors or places that look lucrative, that look attractive, enticing, that promises them security. And that's one thing we've not been able to get right, you know, in the place of hiring skilled, you know, personnel, because I believe the most passionate human resources we have in the country would love to be teachers if the conditions were much better than what we have now. Teachers play a very critical role in the formation of every child, but they're not well remunerated. You understand? So that's why we have the passionate ones who would like to teach, ending up in banks, ending up in, you know, the oil sector, going to run businesses and all, because they feel that's something they would do and it would be what. But if we can take it back to a place whereby we can bring, you know, like young people who are very passionate about, you know, changing the educational system, you know, developing the lives of the next generation of leaders, and we're able to remunerate them properly, not just remunerate them, recognize them, you know, honor them, make them feel like they matter. Do you understand? And not just treat them like people who are not really making a difference. I think that's when we can see an improvement in the quality of the kind of teachers we have. Think, for instance, if I were to ask you now, Kayode, would you want to be a teacher?
Not at this
time. Your spontaneous response would be no. Yeah, and if you ask the average Nigerian, you hear the way they talk about it, you can see the passion that they would love to. But when it comes to, you know, things like payments and all like that, with the way times are right now, a lot of bills to be paid, you know, and burdens, inflation everywhere. So what an average teacher gets is not even, you know, like enough to take care of their needs. So this also affects their productivity as well. So you see them not paying as much attention as they should to the lives of those children. I still feel motivation is a very intrinsic need, you know, like if we can get the place of motivation like right when it comes to the teaching profession, we would have a lot of passionate people coming into teaching.
Still on the education sector, because education is powerful. It's one of the major tools you are using and you have advocated for in terms of shaping leadership, in terms of imparting the right leadership qualities into young people. Over time, the government have been accused of not funding the education sector appropriately from way back, except for 2022 budgets now, where people have said, okay, maybe a little increase there. People are complaining that there's no necessary infrastructure, it's not meeting up to the standard of the 21st century. Do you think that it's because we are building momentum, or it's because we are not just paying attention to the sector?
Like I said earlier, it still boils down to our value system.
Mm.
If you want to know what a man values or a nation values, you can check what they appropriate to that thing. So it goes to show you we don't really value, you know, the importance, not just the importance, the quality, you know, of education, you know, in this part of the world. So if we begin to pay more attention to improving the quality of our education, we'd see an increase in what has been allocated to it. Yeah, so until you have leaders who value, you know, the importance of education and know, recognize the critical role it plays, you know, in the success and prosperity of its citizens, it would still be the same song. The problem is, why a lot of people say school is a scam, it's because, you know, over time, you know, they went to school with the wrong mindset. That's why I keep saying our mindset is also very important about these things. Reorientation is very important when sending young people into school. So they went into school with the mindset that if I go to school, I would make it. But when it comes to schooling and education, it's very important you go to school to get an education. But beyond getting an education, it's also important that you also identify your areas of passion, you know, strength, and develop certain critical life skills that can help you utilize the education you get from school and create solutions that can solve problems in the society. Do you understand? So the mindset people go to school with is to just go and get a degree, get a certificate, not to go to school and discover their purpose, discover their strengths, discover their areas of passion, deploy that passion into identifying problems in the society and solving it to meet critical needs, you know, in society that they can exchange for value. Do you understand? So until we change our narrative of, you know, going to school and getting a certificate and do 4 years, some because of ASUU strike, 6 years, you get the next thing, you're going job hunting. Do you understand? It would keep looking like school, you know, is a scam, because we've had people who didn't go to school but self-educated themselves. That's why I'm an advocate of personal development, being a student of personal development for life. Because that's all that level, you know, of education, whereby you take it upon yourself to learn not just literacy, but learn different things that can help shape you into a very productive human being. So take, for instance, now, we've had stories of people who didn't go to school, but have turned out to be successes, you know, in the society. And when it comes to success, success is relative. You know, the definition is relative.
Yes.
But when it comes to this part of this world, you know, they see success as have a house, have a car, you know, I travel around the world. Do you understand? Things like that. But no. That's not the goal. The goal of education is to help you think, identify areas in the society, identify problems in the world that you can use what you're being taught at school, channel your passion and your critical thinking, you know, like skills, to solve this problem. Not you coming out and looking for a white collar job that is not really there anymore. So I think that's just a problem. That's one of the problems we have, you know, when it comes to the schooling thing in Nigeria. If we can have a system whereby even before students are enrolled in school, we're able to test them, you know, test them even before they pick their courses. We're able to test them and know what areas of strength. Do you understand? So that's why most times we end up with musicians. People should be musicians, professional musicians, studying engineering. Do you understand? Because that's what their parents, their family, do you understand? And they think it's lucrative, law, medicine. Do you understand? But if we have a system whereby we can test people, help them take certain tests that can help them see their areas of passion, strength, and they use that result to pick courses that would help them, you know, apply what they've learned in school to solve problems and create jobs. Do you understand? How about we won't be having the narrative of school NASCAR. You get so like the famous saying, where the purpose of a thing is not done, abuse is inevitable. People just go into school without any purpose, without any idea of why they are going to school in the first place. So they come out and they feel more lost and more frustrated and clueless than they've ever been. Yeah, but imagine whereby you go into school with a purpose and you develop it, develop that purpose, and you come out and you're entering the world with a purpose, knowing what you're going into the world to do and the problem you're going into the world to solve. Do you understand? And how you're going to solve that problem. You would have so much value
to give and receive. You know how you said it now just made me think about the idea of purpose.
Yeah.
People being able to identify who they really are.
Yeah.
And I feel that that is lost at this time.
Yeah.
I'm speaking as I'm a young person, and I sense that a lot in my interaction with people. And you can see that this person doesn't really have a clue of what he or she should be doing. It's just going by the tide. It's just... Funny enough, the person might be very good. Maybe the person is an hairdresser. The person might be a very good hairdresser, but you can tell that the person is just doing it out of, I just have to do something.
Yeah.
Not because they've identified their purpose, they've identified who they are, what problems they should be solving, how they should be solving it, what their role is in Nigeria, what their role should be in nation building, and all that. So how do you suggest we help them? And the problem compounded with that is also the fact that we now live in a world, we all know how how everything is now, where everything now is majorly based on survival. Most people are moving by survival instincts, which means that they are moving first by survival, not by what I should be doing or what I should have done. So how do we balance this and also help people identify their purpose and where they should be functioning?
Thank you, Kay. It still takes me back again to the place of education and revamping the curriculum.
Mm.
So like I said, when it comes to leadership, leadership has different areas. Do you understand? It can be broken down into different areas. Take for instance now, imagine a situation whereby every child is learning about leadership, vision, character, identity, purpose, empathy, emotional intelligence, critical thinking, creativity, problem solving, while in school. Just imagine how they will turn out. So talking about the problem of, you know, a lot of young people who are just working on survival instincts, moving without any sense of purpose, it still boils down to the foundation. Was there any provision during their formation stages while at school for them to learn themes or subjects like purpose? No.
Mm.
So that's the problem. We're focusing so much on the hard skills, literacy, the technical skills, but we're leaving critical, you know, like skills that also help you use those skills you've learned, the knowledge you've gotten while at school, to succeed when you get out of school. So someone now goes to school to study medicine, but throughout the time he was studying medicine at school, he never for once learned anything about purpose, anything about vision. So he comes out and he's thinking like the average doctor.
Mm.
But when you compare a child who went to school to study medicine and was taught purpose, and you see the outcome of that child and the way the person deploys purpose, the practice of medicine, those are people we see receiving prizes like the Nobel Laureate Prizes, being celebrated globally, creating global solutions locally that have been used to affect the lives of millions all over the world. Why? Because there's a purpose attached to the learning process. So we just have to be more intentional about having teachers who teach with purpose.
I feel that.
Students.
Come again. Teachers.
Who teach with purpose. Students who learn with purpose. Parents who give birth to children with purpose. Parents who groom their children with purpose. pastors, imams who teach their congregation with what purpose? Leaders, positional leaders in society who lead the masses or the citizenry with purpose. Just imagine how our nation will look like or how the world will look like. So purpose is a very, very, very important subject that we don't talk about most times. We don't talk about most times.
Well, time is running out. We'll soon round up now. But for round up, we talked about leadership, and leadership is understanding. You've identified how it's very important for us to start imbibing the right values into our curriculum, how to develop our curriculum, imbibing the right values into our children. But I want to keep it in context now. Governance. There's a problem with governance. We know we can't deny that fact that we have a problem with governance. But it's not about governance itself. It's the fact that as individuals, we are not being groomed, we are not being trained to be leaders on our own and to take initiative and to do things right. So what then would be the right game plan to teach our young people, especially teenagers, how governance should be?
It still boils down to the educational curriculum. Every child has opportunities to go through the educational, you know, like system of our nation. And if we are really interested in the prosperity of our nation, we have to put systems in place in the educational system that helps raise the leaders that we want to see, that we want to create the kind of Nigeria that we want from our schools. Once we get it right there, everything changes. Everything changes. And we must not look at it from a short term. Well, let's give it a 10, 20 year strategic plan. But we have to start now.
Starting now.
We have to start now.
And that's why I actually thought about the subject, salvaging Nigeria's future today. And not just about looking at teenagers or youth as leaders of tomorrow,
today.
It starts now. It's such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much.
So I want you to leave us with something. Leave us with something as far as salvaging Nigeria's future is concerned.
Okay, when it comes to salvaging the future of Nigeria, I believe it's the responsibility of every Nigerian, you know, to play a part, you know, like, and not just play a part, identify their role in the salvaging process and positioning themselves to play that role effectively, regardless of who or who is not playing their own role. Like I said, if you want to see change in Nigeria, it has to start with you and I. Thank you so much, Mr. K.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ravel Steven. I've learned a lot. I've been inspired. Especially, one thing I'll take home from this conversation is when we begin to have teachers who teach on purpose, when we are intentional, when everything has to be on purpose. Thank you very much for joining on this episode.
Thank you for the privilege.
Thank you for joining in again this week. And I hope you had a good time. Please ensure to subscribe to this channel from wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to my sound engineer, Tom Lockie. Sonny, until I come your way next time, I say stay lifted.